It's good to be here this evening. Everyone's going to stay in here. It doesn't look like Mrs. Debbie's here this evening, so everyone will stay in the auditorium. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I'm going through the book of 1 John, been enjoying it and seeing what the Lord has done and showed us in this book, different book, and gives us a different perspective on things sometimes. 1 John chapter 2, and we've already covered all of the chapter except for the last two verses, and we're going to look at the last two verses and apply it a little bit differently than I have been, but I think that we'll be able to get something from it. 1 John chapter 2, last two verses, we're going to speak about the coming of Jesus Christ and if we are ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. We need to be ready for the coming, the second coming of Jesus Christ, the rapture, when He will appear. He's going to appear, and we believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ, and so we need to be ready for that, and that's what we're going to look at this evening. So before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your blessings upon us. We thank You that we can come and assemble together. We're thankful for Your Word, thankful for Your Holy Spirit, thankful for the fellowship that we have and for our salvation and for Your Son, Jesus Christ, for the cross, and just for the fact that You saved us, Lord. We're thankful. God, we pray that You'd be with us this evening. I pray that You'd eliminate any distractions and that we could give attention to what You're saying here in Your Word, and we'd be drawn closer to You, and we'll thank You for it, Lord. We love You and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The last two verses of 1 John chapter 2 is what we'll be looking at. Get a drink of water. Last week we looked at the Antichrist a little bit and all of the things that go along with that, and then He goes right into when Jesus is going to appear. Verse number 28 says, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him." I want you to pay attention to the two words, little children. That's how we're going to apply it here in just a minute before we get through some other things. I notice that he says, if you know and ye know, so he uses the word know a lot in 1 John. But he says, and now little children, abide in Him. We know that Jesus Christ is coming back. It's throughout the Old Testament, it's throughout the New Testament. The fact that Jesus Christ is going to return. And he says, that when He shall appear, you may have confidence. You're going to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Are you going to be ready when Jesus Christ comes back? Hopefully He's not going to catch us doing something we shouldn't be doing or being unfaithful or something like that. But He says that you have confidence when He comes back because we believe that Jesus Christ is going to return one of these days and we want to have that confidence. Well, the first thing that we need to have confidence is that we must be in Christ. We must abide in Christ. And in order to abide in Christ, you must be in Him. Who's John addressing here anyway? Is he talking to the Christians that he's been speaking to here in the first two chapters? Is he speaking about the people who are the Antichrist, those who have denied Christ? Well, I believe that he's speaking here about Christians. That we must be ready whenever Jesus Christ comes back. And he said you need to be abiding in Christ. What does that mean? Does that mean that we need to keep ourselves in Christ or we need to stay in Christ somehow by our own power and by our own authority? Is that what he's speaking about there? I don't believe so. We can't keep ourselves in Christ any more than we can put ourselves in Christ. It was not ourselves that put ourselves in Christ. It was God who put us in Christ, and it is God who keeps us in Christ. The Bible says we are seated together with Him in heavenly places. We are secure in Him. We are saved in Him, but how do we abide in Christ? He tells us to abide in Christ. Well, there's both a passive and an active aspect to abiding in Christ. The first one is the passive that I want to tell you about. Every Christian is placed into the body of Christ, and you are a part of His body, and it's not of your doing. You did not put yourself into Christ. You didn't have anything to do with it. You didn't put yourself into Christ. It is God's action and His alone, not ours. When Jesus Christ came and He died on the cross, all of those who believe on Christ are now put into a body, both Jew and Gentile, put into this one body together. God has mashed them together and put them into one body, and it's the body of Christ that's Paul's mystery that he has revealed to us. What was it in the Old Testament? Well, it was just the Jews, the nation of Israel. But now there is a mystery, and it's Jew and Gentile together in this one body, and it's called the body of Christ. And passively, we are in this body, and we don't keep ourselves in this body. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, "For by one Spirit are ye all baptized into one body, whether ye be Jew or Gentile, whether ye be bond or free, have all been made to drink into one Spirit." That's passively abiding in Christ. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus." Well, of who? Of God. God is the one who puts you into Christ. So we are in Christ. But there's also an active aspect to abiding in Christ. Actively, we abide in Christ by living out the reality of the new birth and being in Christ. So if someone is in Christ, you've been placed into Christ, you live in Christ, then there's going to be action that takes place in that individual. You're actively abiding in Christ. We find that in verse number 29. "If we know that He is righteous," that He would be Jesus Christ, "you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him." That's the active part. The active part of abiding in Christ is doing righteousness. We know that Jesus Christ is righteous. Everything He did was righteous. He never sinned. But those who are in Christ, those who follow Jesus Christ, also do righteousness. Now, I need to tell you this again. We're not talking about sinless perfection. I'm going to keep telling you this as we go through the book of 1 John. This is not sinless perfection. No one is sinlessly perfect except for Jesus Christ, and that's an impossibility, and it's a contradiction of what John has already said. So when someone does righteousness, and John is speaking here about doing righteousness, he's talking about that righteousness characterizes our life. When he says does righteousness. Well, what characterizes our life? Well, it's repentance, confession, contrition, doing righteousness, all of these things, that's abiding in Christ. Now, not in order to be in Christ, but because you are in Christ, those things flow from your new birth. That's how we abide in Christ. We abide in the teaching of Christ. We abide in the gospel. We stick with it. We stay with it. We don't leave it. We stay with the Bible. We stay with the gospel. All of these things. So when Jesus Christ comes back, I don't want to be ashamed at His coming. I want to be doing what's right. I don't want to be sloughing off on the job, thinking He's not going to come back. So we must abide in Christ both practically and actively as a part of our life. He says, little children. Little children. He's speaking to Christians here. But I want us to be ready for His coming and become like a little child. That's how we're going to apply it here this evening. We need to become like a little child and wait for Jesus to come. Little children, live your life like a little child and be ready for His coming. I want to show you three ways to live like a little child in light of the coming of Jesus Christ. I told you it's going to be a little bit different this evening. How are you and I going to live like a little child and be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ? Well, the first thing that we can do is we can live simplistically. Live simplistically. Enjoy the simple life as you wait for the return of Jesus Christ. You ever studied children before? Children don't have a complicated life. I'm talking about, you know, like Josh's age, Evie Rose, you know, not till you're not 13, 12, 13 years old. I'm talking about 4, 5, 3, something like that. They don't live complicated lives. They live a simple life. I would encourage you this evening to endeavor to live a simple life. Don't complicate your life by trying to gain the favor of God and living a legalistic life. Most little children, you know what they do? They just revel in the fact that their father loves them. Amen. That's what they do. They're not trying to gain the favor of their father. They just look at him in awe and say, "Father loves me." And that's what they're enamored by. They don't have a long to-do list of complex things that they have to do and jump through a bunch of hoops in order to earn dad's favor. They just know dad loves them. It's a simple life. In Galatians 5:1, Paul was writing to the Galatians. He says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage." Hey, you don't need a long to-do list. Your Father loves you. God loves you. You don't have to have a complex life trying to gain the favor of God. Listen, Jesus Christ has already fulfilled all of that. You don't have to gain the favor of God. You know what living a life of legalism is like? It's a complex life. It's a life of a never-ending list of things to do so you can win the favor of God. I'd encourage you tonight to live a simple life and just revel in the love of God. Look, God the Father loves me. And that's simple enough, and that's enough. Don't try to add what Jesus Christ has done. Look, that's enough. The cross is enough. The bloodshed is enough. But boy, we take our eyes off of Jesus Christ sometimes, don't we? Start looking at ourselves, and we're not looking to the one who is coming. Become like a little child. Don't complicate your life by legalism. Don't complicate your life by worry. Children have a whole lot to worry about. You know, they haven't complicated their lives so much that they have a whole lot to worry about. You know, they're just worried about snack time and play time. That's about all they're worried about. But you know what? Adults are the ones who get all the worries, don't they? They're the ones who complicate their lives and they're all worried about everything. Not little children. Paul the Apostle says, "Be careful for nothing." Don't be full of worry. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." You know what? Some adults just worry so much that they don't do nothing for the Lord. Because they're sitting around worrying, "Well, what about my past? Look what I did in my past. I can't do anything now because of the things I've done in my past. What about the future? Well, what is the future going to hold? I can't do anything because I'm worried about the future. I'm frozen because of my worry. And I can't do anything. Well, what's going to happen to America? Well, what's going to happen with this virus? What's going to happen with the elections? I just can't do anything because I'm just worried and I can't serve the Lord. Did you know that God the Father, your Heavenly Father, doesn't want you to sit around with fear and with worry, trying to worry about things? He doesn't want you to do that. He says, "Be careful for nothing." But yet, Christians are some of the most worrisome, most fearful people on the face of the planet. Don't worry. Jesus Christ is going to come back. And He's going to come back at the right time. Just the right time. He's not taken aback by the American elections. And oh my goodness, who's going to get elected? Man, I didn't see this coming. What am I going to do now? What if the wrong guy gets elected? That'll throw a monkey wrench into things, and boy, I just don't know what I will do. What kind of a God do we serve? Hey, quit worrying and just serve the Lord, and everything will work out okay. Don't complicate your life by worry. Don't complicate your life by a bunch of extra affairs. Most little children don't have too many irons in the fire. They don't have a whole complicated life where they just can't do anything. Like I said, most of the time they're just worried about snack time and play time. They don't have all these extra things going on, but you know, adults, they just add so much to their plate, they just can't do nothing for the Lord because their life is just so complicated. Paul the Apostle said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, told Timothy, he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may be a good soldier." He told Timothy, he said, hey, don't complicate your life so much that you can't do nothing for Jesus Christ. Stay in the war, Timothy. Stay in the fight, Timothy. Don't get your life all complicated where you can't do anything. Simplify your life. The Christians today, they can't do it. Their life is so complicated that they can't serve God. They can't endure hardness because there's too much stuff going on. Life is going 100 miles an hour and they can't stop. They got too much to do and then life passes them by. And they don't do anything for Jesus Christ. Life was too complicated. Trying to balance everything and hold on to everything and serve God too, and then they have to let go of God and they don't serve God. Hey, you can't do that. People can't serve God today because their lives are filled up with trying to pay for things. Oh, we're trying to make a living, trying to pay for all that stuff. And boy, I can't tithe and I can't support the church because my finances right now, they are just too complicated. I got too many bills. I got too many payments. I got too many contracts. Just can't do it. Too much stuff going on. I can't come to church. I can't do it. Simplify your life. Simplify your life. If you're going to wait for Christ's return, you got to live simplistically. Hey, I'm preaching to me too. Everybody's got a complicated life. I'm not standing up here saying my life's not complicated because it's complicated. It is very complex. But I'd like to encourage you tonight, look, ask yourself how you can simplify your life so you can serve God more. We must not only live simplistically, but we must also live faithfully. Live faithfully as we return, wait for the return of the Lord. There's two ways that you can look at a life of faithfulness. The first one is this, just live faithfully to God. Just be faithful to God. What I mean is this, no matter what happens in your life, be faithful to God. Because you know what? Little kids are that way. They're faithful to their parents. I'm talking about little ones. I'm not talking about the ones that grow up and know everything. I'm talking about the little ones. They'll stick by their parents no matter what, through thick and thin. They're waiting for their mom and dad. And they're faithful to God. It's not until they get a little bit older, then they get rebellious, and then they start knowing everything, and then they don't stick by their mom and dad anymore. But little kids, well, stick by their parents no matter what. They're faithful. You be willing to do that this evening? You be willing to be faithful to God no matter what and just be like a little kid? You know, when we moved here back in 2014, it was about 6 years ago, we moved here from Pampa and we moved into the parsonage. Well, in Pampa, we had a larger home. We had two dogs, Penny and Flynn. And one of them was potty trained, the other one wasn't. And we had just gotten Flynn. Paige had just gotten Flynn, and we moved into this house over here. Well, this house is a lot smaller than what we moved into. And we tried to stuff our whole family into the parsonage, and there was no way that we're going to fit two dogs in there too. They're not staying with us. So they had to stay outside. Well, outside in the backyard, the fence would not hold the dogs in. So I had to build a little pen in the back for Penny and Flynn. And they didn't like that very much. But they had to stay back there. And they stayed back there for 5 years. And they stayed out there when it was cold. They stayed out there when it was hot. They stayed out there when they didn't want to. They made escape routes out of that place, and I plugged them up about 10, 15 times. But they stayed out there. Did you know the whole time that they stayed out there, every time I went out there, they were happy to see me?
They were just happy. Hey, take us on a walk. Do something. I'm so glad to see you. Man, even though I'm not staying inside and it's not as cold out here and as hot out here, I'm just so happy to see you. Man, they were just happy about that. And finally, Penny's back inside and so is Flynn. But they stayed out for 5 long years. They were faithful dogs. They stayed by our, stuck by our side, even when circumstances weren't desirable. Can I encourage you tonight to stay faithful to God no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what happens in your life, no matter if it's easy or it's good, no matter if it's hard or difficult, look, stay faithful to God. Stay faithful to God. Because it's easy whenever things are going good in your life and you're not getting a phone call that you don't want to get or you're not getting something, some kind of bad news. It's easy to be faithful to God, but stick faithful to God even through the bad times, even through the hard times. Be ready for His coming and be faithful. Another way we can look at faithfulness is just to live in faith to Him. Just to trust God to supply your needs. You think about little kids, they're not self-sufficient. They're not taking care of themselves. You know what they're doing? They're just looking up to mom and dad saying, well, I trust that they're going to supply my needs. They're not questioning mom and dad at that point. They're just thinking, they're going to supply my needs. And they live in complete and total confidence and faith to their mom and dad. They're not saying, well, I hope they can do it. I hope they can provide my needs. No, they're just waiting. That's all they're doing. And parents provide. When I was growing up, I was completely relying on my parents. They had to provide my needs. I wasn't skeptical. I just knew food's going to be on the table. Now, it might not be what I liked, but it was there. And they supplied my needs. Now, I might have been skeptical at some point because sometimes we'd go to the grocery store and then we'd have to start putting food back because mom didn't have enough money to pay for the food. And there was 4 teenagers in the house. And they eat a lot. And dad wasn't making a whole lot. But yet I just knew that somehow mom and dad were going to supply my needs. I just lived by faith. How about you and I here this evening? You willing to live by faith and just trust God? Well, I don't know how God's going to do it. I can't see the future. I understand. Trust Him anyway. Trust Him anyway. So what? He knows the future. He's got you in His hand. He'll take care of you. It'll be all right. Live in faithfulness. Wait for Him to return and He'll come back. Live in faith towards God. But many times we can be like the children of Israel, can't we? Can God provide a table in the wilderness? Can He do it? Of course He can. But be like the Apostle Paul. He says, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Live in faithfulness to God while you're waiting. Become like a little child. Number 3, we must also live humbly. Live humbly. As we wait for the Lord's return, we must live a life of humility. You know how little kids are? They don't think a whole lot of themselves. They don't look down on the other people for their social status or who they are, what they're doing. They don't look down on people. They're not full of pride. Completely humble. You know what they're thinking about? I wonder what I'm going to be when I grow up. I wonder what I can do with my life when I grow up. They're completely humble. You know what? They look up to adults. They look up to policemen. They look up to the people who are in authority, and they think, man, mom and dad just hung the moon. They look up to their mom and their dad. They look up to their father. Christians ought to do the same. They ought to look up to God in awe and wonder and say, man, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. And God is everything. Have respect to the Lord. We must live in a state of humility. Why? Because, oh, pride can creep in, can't it? Pride can creep into your heart. And listen to me. Everyone in this room, including me, has to deal with the sin of pride because pride will get into your heart. It will get in. And don't think, well, this is for the guy over here, or this is for the girl over here, or this is for my neighbor over here. No, it's for you. It's for you. Search your own heart, and I'll search my own heart, because pride can creep in, and we can develop pride and rebellion against God, and we can think, well, I'll just go my own way, and I'll do my own thing. It's an infectious disease. It's going to affect your walk with God. Pride will. God desires that we walk in humility before Him, but yet we want to do things our own way. We want to go our own way. Book of Proverbs says, Proverbs 16, verse 18 to 19 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You better watch out. Pride's going to trip you up. Better is it to be with the humble, with the lowly, than to divide the spoil with the proud. Your prideful heart's setting you up for a big crash. You know what's wrong with America? Pride. Pride. You know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Pride. Pride. And then the big crash came. You know what's going to happen to America? A big crash is going to come because of the pride of our hearts. We must walk worthy of the calling that we are called as Christians. We find that in Ephesians chapter 4. He beseeched the followers in Ephesus to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. How are we to walk? With all lowliness and meekness. That's how we are called to walk. Are you walking in humility this evening? Again, don't look at your neighbor and think, well, it's for him or her. No, look at you. And I'll look at me. And search our hearts and see if we are walking in humility. Because it's going to affect your walk with the Lord. It's going to affect your witness. We're full of pride, our witness becomes not more about Jesus Christ, it becomes more about ourselves. We start thinking about ourselves. You know that God didn't call any Christian celebrities. He didn't call anybody to make a whole lot of about themselves and look at me and all of this kind of stuff. No, He called us to put the spotlight on Jesus Christ. Amen. To preach about Jesus Christ and to tell people about Jesus Christ. But yet, sometimes people get wrapped up in just making an image for themselves, and they call themselves Christians. What about the Apostle Paul? He says, I preach Jesus Christ, and I am the chief of sinners. He wasn't trying to make a name for himself. We must walk in humility. One day the disciples were having a discussion about who was the greatest. Who's the greatest, Lord, among all the disciples and apostles? Who is it? You know what Jesus said? The one who serves the most, that's who's the greatest. Are we going to strive to be the servant of the most today? Humility, it needs to take hold of our hearts and become like little children. Because if you and I are going to follow Christ, we must have a humble heart. So we've seen how we need to live in light of the fact that Jesus Christ is going to return very soon. We don't want to be ashamed of Him at His coming, so we must live a simple life. We must live in faithfulness to Him. We must live in humility to Him. But I'd encourage you this evening, as you wait for Jesus Christ to come visibly in the air and you see Him, look for Him right now. Look to Him right now in your life. Every day, look to Him. And repent of the sin of complicating your life so much that you can't serve Jesus Christ. Simplify your life. Repent of the sin of not being faithful to God. Repent of the sin of not having faith in God. And start being faithful to Him. Just be faithful. Quit slacking off. And just be faithful. Repent of the sin of pride. Root out that pride in your heart and in my heart and serve God. Here's what we can do. We can stop looking around and saying, well, what can someone else do for me? And why don't you look around and say, what can I do for someone else? How can I be a servant to someone else while I'm waiting for Jesus Christ to come back? That's what we can do. Jesus Christ was a servant. A servant. So we must look to Him and for Him in every situation, every day of our lives, because if you aren't looking for Him right now in your life, you're probably not looking for him when he's going to appear. Look for him right now. I'd encourage you tonight to become just like a little child. Just like a little child. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace, your kindness towards us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you'd help us in the weeks to come. I pray that you give us strength. Give us the help that we need. I pray that you'd help us to become like little children. Lord, I know that I'm guilty sometimes of thinking that I'm more than I really am. Guilty sometimes of not having faith in you, not being faithful. Thankful that you're always there for me. Lord, I pray that you'd help us and strengthen us. Thank you, Lord, for being our Savior. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.